I'm calling the House Transportation Committee to order at 1:03 p.m. on April 5th. Members present are Representative Ortiz, my co-chair Representative Foster, Representative Stutes, Representative Nagiak, and myself, Representative Hughes. Thanks to our House Record staff, Summers Cole, and our LIO moderator, Matt Kern, for being here and keeping us in line. Today we're going to hear two bills, HB 21, Regional Transit Authorities, with its first hearing, and then after that we will hear HB 186, Off-Highway Driver's License, under bills previous heard. My intention is to move that bill out today. So I'd like to invite Representative Josephson and his staff to the table to present HB 21. Welcome Jonathan Church and Representative Josephson. You've got a good staffer there from Matt Sue, by the way.
Yes. And he's a commuter, and I want to talk about that.
Introduce yourself for the record and tell us about your bill.
Thanks. Andy Josephson. I represent District 17 in Anchorage. I'm here for House Bill 21, and I appreciate you making some time for it. Here's my statement about the bill. The bill is in part sort of the child of another bill from around 2010 that had been introduced by Senator Charlie Huggins, which was also a Regional Transit Authority bill. There are a couple provisions that are slightly different, but not much. House Bill 21 would allow municipalities to enter into a joint agreement establishing a Regional Transit Authority, and that would be true anywhere in the state. In fact, more than two municipalities could do that. The language of the bill is based on Port Authority and Regional Solid Waste Management Authorities, which exist in Title 29 now. As I noted, this was originally a bill during the 26th legislature by Senator Huggins at the request of the Matsu Borough at that time. The statewide legislation has larger implications along the rail belt, because of course the rail belt is where more than half of Alaskans live and where we see, and I would submit there's a need for transit and transportation planning that we could assist with. The Matsu, as you all know, and as the chair, co-chair especially knows, is one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing region in the state. It now has 100,000 people. I think that eclipses the number in the North Star Borough. I'm told that about a third of Valley residents work in Anchorage. And you can see anytime you are going in either direction, starting at around 6 a.m., you can see their vehicles pouring in by the hundreds and thousands. There are many costs associated with the current commute that we see between the Matsu Valley and Anchorage, and that includes road maintenance, car maintenance, worker stress, lost productivity, and the costs of motor fuel, which were documented in the year 2000 as being about $143, and in 2011 as per month, and in 2011 as being as much as $351. We assume that number is probably lower now because of gasoline prices. Regional transit authorities were identified by the municipality of Anchorage and the Matsu Borough as part of their long-range transportation plans, and the Alaska Railroad Commission identified it as being the next step toward examining commuter rail. I would submit that transportation problems do not start or stop at a city or municipal boundary. They obviously extend beyond those boundaries. The goal of a regional transit authority is to produce a seamless and coordinated multimodal transportation system that meets the needs of a diverse population. Most of the commute boundaries go far beyond municipal boundaries. So what we want to talk about is how an area with multiple governmental jurisdiction can work together to improve coordinated planning. An example of that, of course, is if someone lives in Sutton, they're passing through many local governments on the way into Anchorage. Currently, operators in Anchorage include the People Mover, Anchor Rides, and Share a Ride. And in the Matsu, we've identified three, and that's Mascot, the Valley Mover, and the Chicoloon Area Transit System. In 2010, the municipality of Anchorage and the Matsu Borough contracted with RLS and Associates to draft a regional transit authority plan. They envisioned the RTA's primary function being the development of service plans and long-range plans grant administration, and financial management to administer Federal Transit Administration funds. The RTA would contract with local transportation providers, but would not have any responsibilities in the area of transportation operation, maintenance, scheduling, safety, or training. Again, what I'm referring to is the 2010 model that was contemplated. The 2010 plan identified the following advantages. New funding and new transit services would be provided. An RTA would assume some grants administration, procurement, marketing, and other functions to supplement efforts of Municipality of Anchorage, Public Transportation Department, the Matsu Borough, Valley Mover, and Mascot staff. The operation of new services would take advantage of the capabilities and infrastructure of existing public transit providers. Enhanced coordination would result with the influence of an RTA serving jurisdictions that People Mover, Mascot, and Valley Mover already serve. So the idea would be to coordinate these services. Disadvantages discussed in 2010 including creating an RTA would require actions at both the state and local levels, and that's where House Bill 21 comes in. State enabling legislation would need to be passed by the state legislature, and actions would need to be taken by local governments to create RTAs. So the idea, again, of this bill was to act as sort of the progeny of the 2010 model, but to create, and John Church will go through quickly each section, but to create a real structure for an RTA, including language about how it would be self-funding, how it would bond, how it would be dissolved if it wished to be dissolved, how it would act in a corporate status, what authorities the state would give it and not give it, and everything from membership of the board to board functions, which are laid out in on page 9 of the bill, where it lays out exactly what bylaws might cover, that sort of thing. And the audit structure, et cetera. Now, there is, although any kind of transit modality could be taken up by the RTA, as you can see on page 1 at line 6, what was envisioned by me was some sort of light rail or commuter rail system. And this comes from my own personal belief, and just sort of anecdotally, but also observationally, that what's happening between the Matsu and Anchorage needs to be matured. It needs to be made much more sophisticated. It needs the coordination of the Matsu planning officers, Anchorage planning officers, and a vision of what that kind of commute would look like 25 years from now, 50 years from now. Something more sustainable, something more productive, something more enjoyable, and something safer. Even today, the Glen Highway lane, one lane of the Glen Highway was closed because of a crash at Thunderbird Falls. This kind of thing happens frequently. And I just think that mature economies, and we're going to be one of them, need to begin to make these sorts of plans. And we've seen how Seattle has taken a lead in this. The New York Times just this week wrote an article, many of you may have seen, about those economies in the lower 48 that are doing especially well in what is a slow recovery from the Great Recession. One of them that is featured is Denver, which now has light rail to its airport. Others are San Francisco and Seattle. And I just, it just seems apparent to me that this is where we need to head. I know that it's not a cure-all, because people remind me that if you took a train in from the Matsu, I think you'd have more energy and less stress when you arrived, but you would certainly, unless you worked downtown or midtown or wherever that train may disembark, you would need probably someone to pick you up and take you to your office. So it's not seamless, but I think that this helps facilitate a discussion about regional transportation planning. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You had mentioned that Senator Huggins had introduced it. Is there a companion on your side?
Yeah.
Are they currently?
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Senator Huggins about this and carrying on the work?
You know, I that's a good question. I don't know that I have. But it's modeled after that. There are a couple changes. For example, I didn't want to see the director of an authority become sort of king of a fiefdom and entrenched interests, earning enormous salaries and creating great burden on the taxpayers. So I, and on page 9 under the bill, said compensation would not exceed $200,000. And I had a feature on page 10, line 24, which talked about the authority needing to review environmental impacts of any plan that might be developed for commuter transportation. You know, the other feature, of course, is not only moving people but moving commerce, and I think that that's also something that would benefit from regional efforts at improving transportation. So, thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Isn't there currently some kind of rail system from the airport to downtown Anchorage?
There is one that gets mocked because it doesn't get used. I've never been on it. I've never hardly met anyone that's used it. But there is something called the Bill Sheffield Depot at the Anchorage Airport. It's actually rented now for things like proms and weddings, I think. I know proms. I think it was designed to move people to, for example, the Captain Cook Hotel or other downtown hotels. But its status is murky to me. That's more localized, and it's not sort of what I envision this RTA is about.
Follow up? Thank you. It's interesting you would say you've never met anybody that's ridden it, because I've met several people that I don't know, what it's probably been maybe a couple of years since I've talked to them, but they rode it all the time. And that was going to be my question, is if that system would connect with this envisioned system going out to the Matzo.
You know, I mean, my sense of this, and I think that Tim Sullivan of the railroad may be online to testify, as well as, he's not.
He's not.
Okay. All right. That the those passengers must be getting off at First Avenue near the railroad terminal, I assume. Now, from there, they, depending on their age and their health, I don't know how easily they can move. Those passengers move around downtown. It's a relatively short walk. But yeah, I mean, it should be seamless from there to then get on rail and head up to Denali or Fairbanks or wherever. But again, my sort of image of this would be moving people and commerce between the Matsu and Anchorage. That's really, it's not restricted to that. Any local governments in the state could form RTAs. But it's generally understood that as things lay now, as things exist now, the Kenai and Anchorage would not, you know, that's going to be a vehicle trip of 3 hours. It's really the burgeoning and growing Matsu and 300,000 people in Anchorage. That's sort of what I had envisioned.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Artes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Josephson, for introducing this. For this representative from Southeast Alaska, unfamiliar with the transportation network that currently exists between Anchorage and the Valley, is there no public transport ability right now to go from Anchorage to the Valley?
Madam Chair and Mr. Chairman, I think I will give that to John, who makes that commute and knows more about it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jonathan Church, staff to Representative Josephson. So the People Mover in the Valley runs periodic trips from the park and share lot next to the hospital between Eagle River and Anchorage. So That is one option, and I believe the mascot might make some runs, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
And just a follow-up.
Go ahead.
And so that's regularly scheduled service 5 days a week or 7 days a week, or do you know?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, I believe it is 5 days a week.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you say that between the Mat-Su and Eagle River then?
Mm-hmm. Representative Foster, through the chair, yes, it does from the Mat-Su along Glen Highway, through the Eagle River, and then into Anchorage.
Okay, follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So it does go through Eagle River and then into Anchorage.
Yes, it will make a stop to pick up passengers in Eagle River.
I'll follow up.
Go ahead.
About how many people use that? Is that a widely used service?
Representative Foster, through the chair, I'd have to ask the organization themselves on their average ride numbers. I wasn't able to get that information yet.
Thanks.
Okay, I guess I don't need to raise my hand for myself, but I just want to check. The rideshare vans, do you have any numbers on how many people are using those by any chance?
Currently, I do not, through the chair.
That would be interesting information to get the numbers through the bus services and ride shares to get a sense of what it is. I will have to say that on ice and snow and dark and windy early mornings, being on a commuter train would be a lot nicer. I commuted for 6 years and it's not much fun. But I also know that that most, if not all, commuter trains need large subsidies. So I'm just wondering if this authority were to be formed, if a municipality were to choose to form one as its own municipality or with another to form a transit authority, what kind of funding is available? They'd have the ability to raise revenue and such, other than fares. If subsidies are needed, what is out there? Do you have that information?
Representative Hughes, right now I cannot say for certain. I have some grasp of funds that are available, but I want to make sure and give you proper information on all the funds that are available. I know the Federal Transit Authority funds are some that would be available to them, but beyond that, I'm not 100% sure.
And do you know if those Federal Transit Authority funds are based on ridership? In other words, you got to hit a certain number of riders?
Representative Hughes, through the chair, I'm not sure.
Okay, that would be good information to have as well. I had a question. Does anybody else have anything? On page 2, line 27, creation of the authorities and exercise of municipalities' transportation systems powers. Do you know if all the municipalities have transportation powers? All the local governments have that authority?
Representative Hughes, through the chair, I'm not 100%. I believe Susie Schutz is available online. She might be able to answer that question about municipal powers and duties.
Susie, are you there?
Madam Chair, this is Susie Schutz with Legislative Legal Services.
Yes, thank you. Did you hear the question?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, please?
The question is whether all local governments have transportation powers in our state that this might apply to.
Through the chair, this is Susie Schutz with Legislative Legal Services again. So that would depend on the municipality. General law municipalities can exercise powers specified in law and powers that are not otherwise prohibited if that power is improperly acquired. And a home rule municipality can exercise all powers not prohibited by law or charter. And under 2935-200 and 2935-210, first class and second class boroughs specifically, it's described how they can exercise their transportation system authority. I'm not sure how many municipalities actually have transportation systems in place. That would probably be a better question for the municipalities themselves. But currently municipalities can provide transportation systems.
Okay, thank you. I noticed we have Marty McGee on the line with the department. I'm wondering, Marty, do you happen to know if the municipalities in the populated areas all have transportation powers?
Yes, we just lost Marty.
Oh, we just lost Marty. Okay, well, maybe he'll come back on board and we'll hold that question. Do we have any other questions from the committee?
If I may, just
yes, Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Josephson, for the record. Relative to the financing of the RTA, this is the bill does lay out very thoroughly what bonding authority it would have, whether those would be in bonds through investment or revenue, and I think part of what's contemplated is that the line that's available now would be enhanced. And that some sort of light rail system would operate from the outset. But then the system could grow into anything, just like in any metropolitan area, that was envisioned by constituencies and by the authority. It does have a zero fiscal note now because this is just a framework, a legal framework, to facilitate this cooperative RTA system between joint municipalities.
Do you happen to know if there were any studies done, any polling to see what kind of interest there would be, I guess particularly in the MATSU, for a commuter rail? Do you know if there's any work done on that?
Representative Hughes, I'm not sure of a specific study. Are you asking about a study of citizens, just a poll?
Mm-hmm.
Not one that I am aware of. Speaking from personal experience, I know it's something that's brought up a lot in the Valley, but I'm not sure or not aware of a specific poll.
Okay, thank you. Representative Nagyak.
Is Waseda considered a bedroom community with all the traffic going back and forth from Waseda to Anchorage for jobs and whatever.
Could you state the question again?
Is it considered a bedroom community?
Wasilla.
A what?
Wasilla.
Is Wasilla a
bedroom community?
Bedroom.
I'll take that. Palmer and Wasilla both, I think, might fit that category. Although we don't like that category. We don't like that characterization.
But yeah, but that's what like it's called when you're commuting.
But yeah, we have quite a few commuters from both Wasilla and Palmer on a daily basis going into Anchorage. Yes.
Another question related to that. If so, I mean, you know, some people might need a car to get around or do things in Anchorage. If there's a system to allow those people to bring their cars on a train or whatever and use them during the day or and then go back after work or whatever. I mean, you know, if that was considered.
Mm. Representative Nagyak, through the chair, I am aware of there used to be a train service to Whittier where you would load your train or your car onto a like freight bed and then it would take you to Whittier and drop you off there so you could have your car. I'm not sure if that's necessarily what the railroad would necessarily envision in terms of commuter service that they might be providing, though.
Thanks.
Yes.
I made reference in the introduction to Andy Josephson, for the record, to this study by RLS and Associates, and I'm trying to find Appendix H. It does look like public surveys were done as part of that. I don't see the appendix at the moment, but we could find that.
Representative Hughes, to expand on that point, I actually spoke with a member from the MATSU Planning Department. She forwarded me the entire study. The study I had did not have the appendixes attached, so I was just actually probably 10 minutes before this meeting made aware of these appendices, so it's something that we'll definitely look at.
And since you have that and that study was done, I do remember you mentioning that in your opening remarks. I'm wondering any information as far as fares, what kind of fares they thought it might, you know, the range where it might fall as far as and then how much might need to be subsidized. Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting information as well. Representative Nagia.
I agree with you. I'm concerned about subsidizing the service if there's not enough people going back and forth to Wasilla and Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point, Representative Nagiak. We do have Marty McGee back on the line now, if we could bring him on. Marty, earlier, I'm not sure when you got cut off, but we had a question whether all the municipalities that are in the populated areas of the state have transportation powers. Do you know that?
This is Marty McGee. I don't have that information. I don't know that for sure. My review of the law, what the answer that was provided by legislative legal is correct. I think under those statutes, there is possibility to have that authority, but I don't know if all of the governments have enacted it.
And so for the bill sponsor, that'd be good information to know, too, to see if any wouldn't be eligible for what this bill is trying to do. I have a question as far as, I think, Jonathan, you mentioned that the Alaska Railroad had provided testimony. Mm-hmm. And can you just sum up any important points that they made?
Absolutely. For the record, Jonathan Church, staff representative Josephson. Let me pull up their letter right here. So I spoke with Tim Sutton, who's the government relations manager for the railroad, and they sent over a letter today. So they're supportive, and I'll read quickly. ARRC has supported and continues to support the concept of providing daily commuter rail transportation between the Mattsu Valley and Anchorage. Over the past decade, ARRC has constructed a depot at the Palmer Fairgrounds, invested over $100 million in straightening tracks to shorten the commute, and purchased two buildings in Wasilla with a plan to convert them into a transit hub. In 2014, ARRC modeled a demonstration project to provide daily winter rail service between Wasilla and Anchorage. Just like every commuter service in the world, some of which are subsidized by up to 90%, ARRC's model determined that a three-year demonstration project would face an approximate $7 million loss. This loss would need to be subsidized through funds raised by an RTA or other sources. Also, something that I don't believe they included in here, but Tim said to me, was that the Alaska Railroad, the way the legislation is written currently, there's no seat on like an RTA for the Alaska Railroad, and so they would like to see that kind of optional seat added, similar to what is currently afforded to the Department of Transportation and I believe CRA.
Okay. Any further comments, Representative Joseph, on the Alaska Railroad?
Thank you. Andy Josephson, for the record. They do seem to say that is, the railroad does seem to say that a three-year demonstration project would cost, I'd have to clarify this with them, $7 million. That sounds like a lot. It's divided by 3 years and by the ridership or the fares. That's how they envision it. So, I'd be happy to look into that further and find out the affordability of that and what the consumer would likely pay. But bottom line is the railroad supports the bill and thinks that it's a good concept.
Okay, and then along with finding out how much of that $7 million over a three-year period the fares and the riderships would support, then we'd know how much it wouldn't support. And I guess a question would be for the railroad, what would the likelihood of them being able to get some federal transit authority funds to make up that remainder? That would be an interesting question. I actually have, Representative Nagiak.
Can we have a copy of that, what you were just quoting from?
Was that the letter for the railroad? Yes, I sent that to the committee, but I'll make sure to send you one.
I have a question. You spoke when you began to introduce the bill, Representative Josephson, referring to the 2000 10 bill that Senator Huggins had. Just wondering if what brought this up again? Did you have a municipality come with interest in this type of thing, or is just your observation of the heavy traffic and?
Through the chair, Andy Josephson, or to the chair, the couple impetuses for this. One is just my perception when I drive to the valley, particularly in the early morning hours or late evening hours, that this isn't particularly sustainable. It's not very safe. It's not especially efficient. It's very stressful, I think, for all involved. It certainly, that is the existing system where people are just commuting, and the ridership that we pick up through van networks and all that is, it's got to be less than 1%. It's such a, and the chair knows this, it's such a small percent of those that are commuting. So it's just my belief that this is something that needs to be looked at, that other major urban areas would respond in this way, and that we need to do that as well. There has been interest in our work by the local Matsu sort of regional transportation public advisory body. Mm-hmm. They have called us a number of times. Of course, they didn't call us till we filed the bill, but they have written and telephoned us with questions, and we've responded to those questions. But no, this is one of those bills, Madam Chair, that is truly just sort of a revelation. Turns out it's not a revelation, that Senator Huggins had the revelation, but it's just a response to a need that I've seen.
Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification. And do we have any support letters from any municipalities at this time?
Representative Hughes, through the chair, I've reached out to the Matsu, and I spoke to a member from their planning department today, but they didn't have anything they wanted to convey directly, other than some recommendations that were made further in the appendix section of that RLS study, so I haven't had a chance to look at those. We do have a letter from the AMATS coordinator from Anchorage in support of the concept of the legislation, and that's all I've been able to gather so far.
Are there any other areas of the state that might be interested? Any other place like Fairbanks, even Juneau to the valley, or and anywhere else that you think that? I mean, we've talked a lot about Matsu and Anchorage, but any other areas of the state?
Representative Hughes, through the chair, I could see Fairbanks or Denali from the Matsu also maybe taking interest in this, especially during tourist season. Might be an easy way to move workers or individuals that way, but
we do have the train service now.
Representative Hughes, the chair, in the winter, that is a, once it goes up on the Saturday and comes down on Saturdays or on Sunday as a passenger train, so it only makes one trip in the winter, and then in the summer it's commercial, so I would imagine that seats on that train might be difficult to come by.
In this summer, is it daily? Once a day, twice a day?
I believe so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you could always build a rail to Benny's house. That would be...
That was suggesting earlier.
That would be a friendly
amendment. That'd be a long
commute. Is there... Oh, I know. I had another question just to understand, because is the bus service in municipality of Anchorage? I should know this, but is that run by the municipality? It's different in our area in the Matsu, but is it a function of the muni?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions? Representative Josephson, is there anything else that you would like us to know?
Not at this moment, no. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to check in. Susie, is there anything else you would like us to know as the committee?
Madam Chair, this is Susie Stubbs of Legislative Legal Services. No, I didn't have anything else to add, but if there were any other questions, I could take them.
Any questions? No, I don't see there that there are any. And Marty, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there anything else that you think that the committee, of which we should be aware?
No, Madam Chair, I don't have anything else to add. I think you probably are aware there's some property tax coming to come up because the authority, property owned by the authority will be addressing taxation, but that's not a major issue here, so nothing that much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Josephson.
On that point, Representative Josephson, for the record, there is language at page 8 on line 26, which would authorize the authority to entertain a payment in lieu of tax sort of negotiated resolution of property tax impacts with municipal governments.
Okay.
It would be part of the language of the bill.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. I was looking, because I did some speed reading. Just remind me, were there actually seats on the Transit Authority that are laid out in the bill? Because it was mentioned that perhaps a railroad might want a seat, and do I recall that DOT would have a representative on there, or it was...
You recall correctly, through the chair, Representative Josephson, you recall correctly about DOTs having a role in the authority.
So, Representative Hughes, through the chair, on page 2, let's see, what section is this? So, in section 2935750, top of page 2, it specifies what the authority must have to be established, and then you'll see that subsection 2 may provide that the Commissioner of Transportation, Public Facilities, or the Commissioner's designee serves as a member of the board, and also from the selection of a member of the policy board of a metropolitan planning organization, and that is a categorization of a area with over 50,000 individuals, I believe. Currently, the MATSU is not a metropolitan planning area organization, but they anticipate that it might become one come 2020 census.
Thank you for that, which I was aware of that about 6 months ago, and now I believe it's official by the state, considered 100,000 or more, or is that not official?
I'm not 100%. I know the census had the MATSU at 88,000 roughly, so 100,000 would sound reasonable. It is a designation that I believe there's some coordination between the state granting that designation, but I'll have to look more into that statute before I can give you a 100% answer.
Actually, I'd like to know that whether that designation has to hinge on an actual census, so do we have to wait till the next census cycle? That would be good to know.
We'll find that out for you.
Well, are there any other questions? Okay, with that, we are going to open this bill for public testimony. I don't see anyone online to testify. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, we'll leave it open for a public testimony. Thank you very much. And we are going to hold this bill, and we're going to take a quick at ease, and then we're going to move on to the other bill. And this will really be just about a 1 minute at ease, really quick. Calling the meeting back to order at 1:44, and we're going to move on to HB 186. We had a hearing earlier previously about that, so we have a committee substitute before us, and I think before we adopt it, I think it might be good to have a description of it. So would the sponsor like to explain the changes?
Madam Chair, would you like to recognize those of us who suddenly dropped in through the ceiling?
I would like to recognize someone who suddenly dropped in, Representative Clayman. Thank you for joining us. So I'll invite the sponsor to the table, or staff, or whoever, however you'd like to explain what the CS and the changes, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Barrett Wilbur, staff to Rep. Christ Tompkins. We would love to give you a description of the changes in the CS. It's basically just one big change that restructures the bill a little bit. We realized when we were doing a close read of the bill that there had been an inadvertent drafting error in the way the bill was structured. The bill removed old criteria for insurance and registration exemption for non-commercial driver's licenses, which have been in statute for quite some time. And we plan to put in new criteria. We realized, however, that the way that the bill was drafted, our new bill, we wanted to only affect off-highway non-commercial driver's licenses. And the way the first draft of the bill was written, it inadvertently affected off-highway commercial driver's licenses. So we asked legal to redraft the bill in a way that kept the old criteria in statute so that off-highway commercial driver's licenses would continue on unchanged, and the changes that we propose would only affect off-highway non-commercial driver's licenses. And that's the change.
Okay. And any question on that? So to just so I'm sure I understand it, it narrows it down just to the off-highway non-commercial driver's licenses is what the change the CS does.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I would invite a motion to adopt the CS as a working document. Representative Foster?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the House Transportation Committee adopt the committee substitute for HB 186-29-LS0725/E for ECHO as the working document.
Thank you, Representative Foster. And I'll object for purposes of discussion just in case there's any other points. We did discuss it beforehand, are there? Okay, I will remove my objection then. Seeing no further objections, the committee substitute 29-LS0725/G has been adopted as the working document. Does the sponsor have any more comments about the bill that he'd like to make? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess just for the sake of disclosure, all members of the committee, there is some talk about this statutory subject matter being incorporated into the Omnibus Criminal Justice Reform Bill, given that actually there's some language in there relating to driver's licenses and that there actually are violations that are issued to people who live in rural communities that have been excluded through off-highway driver's licenses, and so there's actually this sort of technical linkage, and I just wanted to share that the co-chair and I have touched on this, but just wanted to share that with all committee members.
Okay. Thank you. And Representative Nagyak.
When you mean off-road systems, that means places where it's not connected to the road system in Alaska. It's just those areas that are like my community and yours and others and as such.
Yeah, Representative Nagyak, through the chair, That's accurate, and in the previous hearing we were sort of talking about what the eligibility for these driver's licenses are, and it's basically communities that aren't in the road system that don't have a DMV office, basically.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is some sort of inadvertent exclusions to which rural communities are allowed to have off-highway driver's licenses, and this legislation tries to remove those inadvertent exclusions, particularly for communities that A, have had a DOT traffic count that has a traffic count greater than 500, and B, communities that are connected by ferry system.
So would that affect commercial driver's licenses and stuff?
Representative Nagyak, through the chair, that's correct. This just relates to personal, non-commercial driver's licenses, off-highway personal driver's licenses.
Okay.
And Representative Christ Tompkins, for Representative Nagyak's benefit, perhaps you just want to say in a couple sentences what it was before your bill, because his communities were already covered, and can you remind us the communities just by your bill would add to that to become eligible?
Sure. Representative Nogak and Chair Hughes, so the communities that would be immediately affected by this legislation are Seldovia and Representative Stutz's district, and Goon, Cake, and Hoona in my district, and then there's also the potential for exclusion for communities in Representative Edgman's district and the Aleutian Chain, Sandpoint being one of them. And then really any rural community has the potential to be excluded from off-highway driver's licenses if DOT were ever to conduct the traffic count in that community and find that there's a car goes over a certain piece strip of asphalt more than 500 times, which I have found through looking at this data happens in pretty much any community with more than, I don't know, 350 or 400 people. So it just removes that potential of future exclusion to certain rural communities also.
Thank you.
And Representative Christ Tompkins, there is a list already of those that are currently in are the communities, and Representative Nogiak are already on that list, right? And so this change, they would stay on the list. They would still meet the requirements.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there any other discussion? And we left public testimony open, so I don't see anyone online. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony. And is there any further discussion? I would entertain a motion. Co-Chair Foster?
Madam Chair, I would like to move that the House Transportation Committee move HB 186 version 29-LS025/E out of committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Representative Foster. Hearing no objection, HB 29-LS025/E moves from committee with the attached fiscal note individual recommendations. I'm going to remind everyone to stick around after we adjourn to sign the bill. And with that, the meeting is adjourned at 1:52.